A very warm welcome to you from Equa Marketing. This presentation is brought to you by Equa.com, a leader in digital marketing.
Hello, everyone. This is Naren, your host. You're listening to Growing Dermatologist podcast show. I'm super excited to be talking to Dr. Noor today, Dr. Omar Noor. He's a co-owner of Rao Dermatology. The reason I wanted to talk to Dr. Noor today is because he is somebody who actually enjoys the business side of dermatology and spends a lot of time in it. So I thought talking to someone who thinks about the business side of dermatology and is very engaged in it would be useful to our listeners. As you all know, the theme of our podcast is to help our listeners create a bigger future in terms of time, money, purpose, and relationship. Also, Dr. Noor is a young dermatologist, so he, of course, has a different mindset and a perspective to some of the perhaps people who have been doing it for a long time. So I thought, you know, bringing some fresh thinking also might be a good thing for our listeners. So Dr. Noor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? Where did you go to school? What inspired you to get into dermatology?
So I am originally from New York, but I went to medical school in Washington, D.C. And I was lucky enough to have a mentor in dermatology. So I did my residency in New Jersey at Robert Wood Johnson. And I eventually went on to join my mentor, Dr. Babar Rao, and become a partner in his practice in New York and New Jersey. And I have been working with him for the past 3 years.
Perfect. So you have multiple offices, right? So tell us a little bit about your practice. What type of a practice do you have? How many team members do you have? Where are your offices?
So we have three offices, one in New York and two in New Jersey. We are a total of three dermatologists and two mid-level practitioners, a physician assistant and a nurse practitioner. We have roughly 20 employees between front desk and medical assistants, as well as a phone room between the three offices.
So you have a common phone room for all three offices?
Yes. That's one thing that I implemented after I joined the practice. I found it to be very efficient to centralize our phone system into a single room, which has three different people, and they take all of our phone calls and then push them out to whoever needs it or takes messages and sends it within our EMR system to the different provider in order to assist the patient in whatever way they need.
Right. So the practice, how would you describe it? Is it a cosmetic practice? Like, what's the ratio?
So it's a good question. We are majority a medical dermatology practice, all three of our offices. We probably do about 70% medical, 30% cosmetic. Dr. Rao is also a dermatopathologist. We pride ourselves in being very innovative as far as technology within dermatology. We have new diagnostic equipment, including confocal microscopy, available within our offices. We embrace technology within the field and try to maximize all of our efforts for our patients.
That's awesome. So let's talk about where you spend your time when we think about the business. So can you give me kind of a laundry list of some of the things you spend time on?
Sure. So when I first joined the practice, I got involved in every aspect of the business side of dermatology because I wanted to expand my knowledge and my information. So I started doing the scheduling, the QuickBooks, the hiring, the firing, every single aspect of the daily business of the offices, I had my hands in. Some would say that maybe I micromanaged too much, but that allowed me to efficiently run the practices by learning every small component of it.
Right.
Now, since the beginning, I have found other team members within our staff to take over some of those small roles. But because of my ability to do every single one of those things, it has allowed us to expand to that third office in New Jersey. And we are now expanding to another office in New York. And I feel very confident that I can manage every small component of our practice because of that.
Right. So how do you do that? How do you manage three offices and all these pieces? Like, do you have like a dashboard or some way to keep track of?
It's a good question, and it is difficult to manage three different offices, but in this new world of technology, everything is tied together. And basically my first step was doing just that, tying everything together so that I could manage every one of those components as easily and efficiently as possible. So basically making all of our scheduling common amongst all the different offices. We have an electronic medical record system that ties everything together that allows me to manage all the offices from one dashboard, essentially. Basically creating a commonality amongst those different offices allows me to manage all three from one location.
Right. So the dashboard you talked about, what are some of the key things or key numbers or key areas you look at, let's say, every day or every week?
So the number one thing for any practice, regardless of what you do in regards to medical or cosmetic, is going to be your overall number of patients. There's nothing you can do in this dermatology world or in medicine if you're not seeing patients. So our numbers reflecting how many patients we see on each day, each week, each month, and a growing list of number of patients per year, and then comparing that number to previous years is always very valuable and important. And then understanding why patient numbers are up or down is critical. Like I said, I first implemented our call center, which its main purpose was to efficiently schedule patients appropriately and to maximize that scheduling of patients. From once you get that number of patients, there's a million different things you can do in order to efficiently take care of those patients and maximize what you're going to do with those patients. But the first step is to have those patients and understand where those patients are coming from. And right. And then on a broader scheme or a more macro perspective, you can now take those patients and look at a more marketing view of how you get those patients to your office. How do those patients hear about you? And then expanding on where is the most effective means of getting those patients from.
Right. So let's kind of pass this a little bit. So you said the number one thing is number of new patients, right? And why are they up? Why are they down? Why are they growing? So have you seen any insights as to why your numbers fluctuate, or what do the numbers tell you? Because numbers are numbers, right? They don't tell a story. So the key is the story, because that's what allows you to do something.
Yes. I mean, in this world, data is incredibly important, and data is available everywhere now. And it's very simple to pull data from all of these different computer systems, phone calls. Data is very easy. The question is, what do you do with that data? And what is that story behind the data in order to maximize your effect of the data? There's obviously many stories. One very simple story that is happening right now that happens every year is, as, like I said, we are majority a medical dermatology office. As the new year begins, patients' deductibles reset within the year. So we will always see, if we go back 5 years, patient numbers always decrease in January, February, and start to come back in March and in April because of patient deductibles. Generally, that is the consensus as to why it's always slower in the beginning of the year and tends to ramp up in the middle of the year, or at least after the first quarter.
Right. So that's a common story, and being aware of that story now will make you less nervous when you see that really bad January compared to better March or April.
Exactly. And that's more of a macro perspective, stepping back, understanding why patients are less in the beginning of the year. But you can go into even more in-depth analysis. We recently did an analysis of when do we receive the most phone calls? And we, as our system shows, our numbers spike consistently on Mondays and Tuesdays after the weekend. So therefore, we increase the staff of our call center on Mondays in order to help take care of that boom in phone calls on Monday And it's a very simple analysis to see when you're receiving the most phone calls, then appropriate your staff accordingly.
Right. So what you're saying is you could drive all the patients, but on Mondays and Tuesdays, if you're not doing a great job because you're understaffed or you're missing some calls, it's like you're burning all of the effort. You know, it's like taking $100 bills and burning it.
Exactly.
And you don't want to do that.
No.
Right. So data can tell you.
These are very simple examples.
Right, right. I would love to hear some more examples of what that data has been telling you.
I mean, we can go into more detail regarding geo zip codes, where patients are calling from, where to target patients for, say, we can, like I said, we do about 30% cosmetic, but the cosmetic procedures we do tend to be very high value procedures. So we will find out where the majority of our patients, our cosmetic patients, are located geographically. And then we will target that area with specific marketing campaigns around those specific cosmetic procedures that patients are interested in. And that's a nice targeted example of utilizing the data that we have in order to maximize exposure to those specific things that those specific patients are looking for.
Right, right. That's great. We talked about new patients, right? Can we switch gears and talk about retention and keeping patients and, you know, things like that?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that my experience is definitely limited, but I come from a family of physicians and I am very attentive to the nature of medicine and the nature of the world as a whole, which has changed drastically over the past decade. The world has become more transparent. Long gone are the days that patients believe 100% what you have to say because they can Google anything they want. So your interaction with patients and your ability to provide accurate and relevant information to patients is of utmost importance in regard to that retention of patients. No longer can you just say, you know, take this medication and the medication may be $5,000. And patients are aware of pricing, are aware of what's best for them. And you need to be able to communicate with your patients on a level that they appreciate and they understand in order for them to acknowledge their appreciation of you and acknowledge that you are giving them the best information for their health.
Right, right. You know, I want to kind of switch gears just a tiny bit because, you know, before we started this conversation, we were talking about how to influence people and Dr. Robert Cialdini, who wrote a book on influence and the six principles that are very powerful in influencing people. And one of the things you mentioned is reciprocity, right? When people are grateful and at that moment when you ask them for something, whether it's a review for you or whether it's, any kind of a favor for you, maybe you want to promote yourself on social media so they could hold a sign saying, you know, I went to my dermatology office and you can snap a picture and, you know, perhaps post it on your Facebook. Now their friends see it and now their friends are aware of the fact that your office is there, his, that patient's dermatology office. So how do you leverage, let's say, reciprocity in your environment? Or do you, like, for example, with your team members, like, you know, how do you remember that, you know, it's all about, you know, making them appreciate you and making them, you know, value you.
It's a good question. I would say that as a whole, our offices, we are very lucky to have a very generous patients. We are not very aggressive regarding forcing patients to leave reviews, or not even forcing is not a good word, but we are not very aggressive in asking patients to leave positive reviews, even if they have a positive experience. We have found that as a whole, if we can communicate well with patients regarding their purpose for being there, patients as a whole have had a very negative concept of the medical system. And if we can make things easier for them and we can make their experience more efficient and just better for them as a whole, they are very grateful and they will reciprocate without any strong necessarily strong input on our side to ask them to reciprocate.
Right. So you're saying, if I were to be blunt, they have a bad experience with medicine in general in terms of, you know, customer service or how they're taken care of. So just by providing efficient, effective service, you are able to win their appreciation, win their reciprocity. Is that what
exactly.
I'm hearing?
That's exactly it. And I'll give you a very easy example. We use a service called ZocDoc. And ZocDoc is, essentially ZocDoc does a very good job of trying to get people to leave reviews. I have never asked a single patient to leave a review for me. I have used ZocDoc for roughly 2 years and I have thousands of reviews, which is mostly because of my ability to communicate with patients, and patients are happy to leave a positive review if they have a positive experience, which I don't feel has necessarily been a theme with reviews in the past, where people tend to leave more negative reviews than positive reviews if they want to leave a review. But I think that if you can put patients in a positive environment, then they will leave a positive review without having to be provoked to leave a review or incentivized.
Right, right. So talk about, you kept mentioning efficient, efficient, the word efficient keeps coming up.
Yes.
So you're saying that patients also want the same thing. So what, like compared to what you consider to be typical, you know, medical experience they've had, where are you guys efficient or where are you more, you know, more customer focused? Give me some examples of what are some of the key things you focus on to provide that experience where they remember you?
The patient experience is paramount. And in this world that we live in, where everyone is very busy, has a million things to do, I know that when I go to another doctor's office, I don't want to wait in the waiting room for 2 hours. I want my paperwork, if I've submitted it online, already to be there. So we do not let patients sit for more than 5 minutes in the waiting room. If we have correctly scheduled all the patients, we have all of our information available to us. We have a patient portal for patients to go online, schedule, upload their documents so that when they come in on time, they are taken directly in, they are seen efficiently as far as the time slot that they are put in. And then prescriptions are sent, everything is taken care of, they leave in an efficient manner. And just at that moment, the next patient will be walking in the door. Everything is already ready to go. The patient will sit down for 2 minutes or less. The patient will then will be asked to go into the room. The patient will be seen in 2 minutes or less. And we continue that throughout the entire day. And granted, emergencies happen. Things might get pushed back a little bit, maybe a few minutes. But no one is ever waiting for more than 5 minutes to be put in a room. And I think that's an important concept to keep in mind because people have other things to do. And it's important to think of a patient's perspective as your own.
Right, right. Do you have any issues with patients not showing up on time?
New patients, it's possible. But as a whole, patients respect us for being on time. And therefore, we respect patients for being on time. And right. Our overall doctor's experience, patients that see us, that know about us, know that we always operate on time. So therefore, they themselves feel the need to be on time.
Right. Do you communicate that to new patients? You said you do have that issue sometimes with new patients.
Well, with new patients who obviously have not been to our office before, they don't know the environment or the climate necessarily they're getting into. They're used to going to a physician's office and waiting for several hours. So we always tell patients to come 20 minutes early to make sure all of their paperwork and everything is in line. And if they don't come 20 minutes early and they come on time, most of the time, all of their paperwork is ready to go and we get them in efficiently.
Right. Can we talk about the phone experience? Any tips or strategies on how you should talk to a new patient, how you should talk to a existing patient, or just some tips based on, I assume you have listened to calls and I assume you have looked at the phone experience. closely?
Definitely. So obviously, you know, your first line of interaction with the patient is either going to be online or via the phone before they even get to your office. So having a script available to whoever picks up the phone for the majority of basic situations the person will get into contact with is exceptionally helpful for whoever is picking up the phone on a normal basis. Now, that's usually in the beginning. Once that person has been picking up that phone call for several months, they can handle a majority of situations. But just being cordial to whoever calls, explaining who they're going to see, specifying that they're going to see a board-certified dermatologist is always very helpful. And then setting them up for whatever they're looking for and giving them whatever information that is available to them at that time. Now, like I said, we have a call center that handles all of our phone calls. So if there's ever a situation where the call operator cannot answer a question, she can either try to get information right then, or if it seems to be a more detailed question, she can always take the question, push out the question to whoever needs to answer it, and then have it come back to that patient in the future.
Right, right. How do you know that, do you grade yourself? Like, how do you know that all the different pieces of your business are working correctly? You talked about seeing patients in less than 5 minutes. You talked about the way the phone is answered. Like, how do you make sure that you're always getting an A grade?
It's a good question. And auditing our own service and our own system is something that we do on a large scale, at least once a year, if not twice a year. But on a more specific scale, our system alerts us if any patient has been checked in, but has been waiting for more than 5 minutes. So we have redundancies set in within our system. And if anyone was waiting for too long, our system will generate a list, which will come to me at the end of every week. And then we have to go over with my office manager or with my staff why this person was waiting for so long. If there was an issue, how was that issue resolved? And how do we fix this going forward? There has to be audits in place and there has to be redundancies in place because you're right, not everything may happen at an A-plus level and there may be breakdowns at certain points. And finding those breakdowns, fixing them, and making sure they don't happen in the future is the most important thing.
When you hire someone, what do you look for? I mean, you have probably hired and let go a lot of people.
Many people. What I look for. So it depends on the position that I'm hiring.
So let's talk about a few positions, like the key positions.
So let's start off with basic, what I'm looking for as a front desk receptionist. So as a whole, my interaction with that employee in that interview is more important than anything on that person's CV. For me, my ability to interact with that person, I will be able to tell how that person interacts with me and how that person will then therefore interact with the rest of my staff, which to me is more paramount than anything else. Everyone in my offices gets along. And if you get along with everybody else, then you will learn how to be a good, you are a good team player and you will learn how to do your position well. And we'll train you. So I don't expect anyone coming into the office to know how to do everything off the bat. We will train you and we have training modules for every single person that comes in. We have training protocols for every person that comes in. But the most important thing is your ability to interact with me and my presumed assumption of your ability to interact with the rest of the staff.
Right, right. Any other tips when you're looking for somebody for the front office?
So obviously how cheery you are is very important, how upbeat and vocal you are, because you are essentially that first line of who someone sees when they walk into the office. So your ability to communicate with every single person that walks in and your ability to be upbeat and vocal and clear with those people is essential. So that's what I would look for a front desk.
Do you have a formal training program for your front desk team?
We do. We have a formal protocol that we've created that everyone goes through that training program when they are first hired. And then every year we have training programs for people to refresh certain aspects of whatever job they have.
So tell me more about the program. Is it like a full-time thing, or is it something that are some documents they read, or is it like a portal they access? Like, tell me more. How does it work?
It's a full-time thing that when they're brought into the office, they are trained in person. There are documents for them to read and go over, scenarios for them to go through and pick between different options on what they would do in certain scenarios, and then who they would contact if any certain issues were to arise. And then there's a shadowing time frame, usually 1 month, that they are working with someone in that particular job situation, whether front desk or medical assistant or whatever situation they're in, in order to familiarize them with our system and our protocols.
Who developed the training program?
The training program was already in place before I came on. It's just more of an ongoing updating and tweaking program that we constantly are trying to improve.
Right. What other jobs have you hired?
I hired a physician assistant for our office. So basically a provider that sees a lot of medical patients. So training her, she had a 3-month shadowing training program. So that we have lots of training programs in place in order to, number one, make sure that there are no errors. And number two, make sure that that person is very confident and at ease for when they do start that position on their own.
Right. Makes sense. Let's talk about marketing. What do you think are some of the key areas to focus on in general when it comes to influencing your patients before they become patients? Because, you know, they don't know you yet, right? They don't know who you are. They don't know much about you. So,
correct. And
they have choices. They have a lot of other dermatologists they can go to.
Right. So in this world of technology, and I call it the world of Google, you have to know what your online profile looks like. That means that what does your practice look like if someone Googles you? Who are you if someone Googles you? Do people understand what type of practice you have when they Google you from your website, from your SEO, and what services you provide based on that information?
Right. So the information that they see, and if it's right information, that's important. I guess you also want people to see you as opposed to your competition when they're Googling specific things that you can offer. Let's say the keyword dermatologist or, you know, acne or Botox, you want to show up.
Right. And that, I think that comes back to the SEO portion of the marketing campaign for our offices.
Right. So marketing is getting people to know you, right? If they don't know you can do something, you can't blame them for not picking you.
Correct.
And then, of course, getting them to pick you, they have choices. Why should they pick you?
Right. Your rating, your online presence is very important. Like you said, number one, it's important to make sure everything is correct, because online things may not be correct. So you have to make sure that all of your information online is correct. That's very basic. Then the next step above that is making sure that all of your positive feedback, positive reviews are available for everyone to see, including whatever negative reviews you have, so that people can make a judgment that they would rather see you than the next person based on whatever is online.
Right, right. So when you say, In terms of influencing people, in terms of helping them pick you, we talked about reviews. That's a big deal. We all know that they trust the reviews more than they trust you, because it's not from one person; it's from many, many people, right? So reviews are very powerful. In terms of authority, like, do you do anything to position you or your practice as your doctors as authority figures? Because, you know, there are a lot of doctors, so why should they pick you?
Yeah, no, the authority question is important. There are different avenues of promoting yourself and your ability as a dermatologist in different aspects of dermatology. So within medical dermatology, showing so your relationships with the industry of dermatology, the pharmaceutical companies, the cosmetic companies. I write as an editor for different cosmetic companies regarding different dermatology medical conditions. So if you Google me, you will see my quotes for conditions concerning rosacea and redness in men and different cosmeceuticals to use in different situations. So that is a way for patients and for people to know that my authority is overreaching as I'm quoted in certain magazines or on certain blogs and things like that. As a step up from that, on a more medical perspective, if you Google me, you will see that I have published many scholarly articles that are reviewed in very prestigious journals in medicine. So as a medical dermatologist, on that respect, the authority is there. It just needs to be Googled.
Right, right. Do you do anything with liking? Because again, we tend to do business with those we like. We tend to work with those we like. And there are two ways you can work on liking. One is we have something in common, right? And we like people who we have something in common with. That's why you see presidential candidates, you know, kissing babies or going hunting, right? The other way to focus on liking is focus on them, right? Not about me and what I think, really, what do you want? And how can I help you? So just the mindset, you know, the service mindset and starting with, you know, the patient and listening to the patient and so forth. What are some of your experiences? What are some of the things you do in your practice to leverage this principle of liking?
Yeah, and I think that all comes back to the ability to communicate with patients. Like I had mentioned in the past, and even now, there are a lot of situations of patients and their medical experience that they do not like. And it mostly comes down to the ability to communicate the whole aspects of the patient's journey from that initial phone call or that initial online scheduling to the bill that they get at the end of the day. So understanding that entire concept from beginning to end and then helping the patient along each way so that we are transparent in that they will know every single aspect of their care from beginning to end. So liking to me comes down to transparency and communication.
Can you expand on that? What do you mean by transparency? I think I understand communication.
Right. So transparency comes down to how much the patient's visit is going to cost the patient, how much the medications will cost the patient, why the patient is receiving this medication versus another alternative, why we feel that this option is better than another option. However, not everything works for everyone. So understanding that there may be another option for the patient in the future for the patient to come back and see.
So what you're saying is proactive communications. In other words, before they question it, you should explain it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Right. Got it. And the other thing you mentioned is seeing things from the patient's point of view. Like I talk to doctors and sometimes the mindset of the doctors is, oh, we are so busy and we see so many people and things happen and things, we are late 20 minutes. But what you're saying is doesn't matter what you think. Really what matters is what the patient thinks.
Right. And your ability to communicate and work with the patient, that's incredibly important. You have to understand that it's not you just telling someone what to do. You have to talk to the patient about what the patient's options are and then work with the patient in order to make them better.
Right. How much time do you spend like seeing a medical patient? I mean, on average.
It's hard to say because it's very variable depending on what the patient is there for. If the patient is a new patient with acne, it depends on how old they are, what they've tried previously, how much the acne bothers them, what they are willing to do. It could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 25 minutes.
So do you take this into account when you schedule? So some schedules are longer than others?
Definitely. And some situations, some patients get scheduled for a longer time frame. Some patient that has a very complicated medical history, including melanoma, and has many complications in their medical history, will get more time. Patients that have a more straightforward situation they're coming in for will have a smaller time slot. But everyone is scheduled appropriately, which is why our schedule runs so efficiently.
So the phone department knows who to give how much time to. So they are the ones
definitely,
who make
and that comes back to that script of understanding every situation that would be calling for.
Right. Makes sense. Anything else you want to share with our audience before we wrap this up, Doctor?
I think one thing that's very important and being lost in dermatology is the fact that we are board certified dermatologists, and though we work with nurse practitioners, physician assistants, at the end of the day, I think it's very important to know that you are seeing a board certified dermatologist, because there are a lot of other characters in medicine that may be not necessarily pretending, but misrepresenting themselves. And it's important to know people's credentials and know that you are being treated by someone that is appropriately trained. And right. I think it's very important. And if for whatever reason someone feels that they are in the wrong situation with the physician they are in, they should look for a second opinion no matter what.
Right. So again, you're going back to authority. The fact that you're board certified is, you know, sets you apart from everybody else.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Thank you, Dr. Noah. I really appreciate talking to you today, and I really, learned a lot from you. So hopefully our listeners will also pick up a few nuggets and use it in their practices. Thanks everyone for listening. You are listening to Growing Dermatologist Podcast Show. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends, and also write a review for us on iTunes or anywhere else you listen to it.
And thank you for having me.